Hellfest is a music festival in Clisson, France, catering mainly to heavy metal, hardcore, and hard rock. We've played it three times, 2006, 2008, and just this past summer, 2013. Over the years, it has become one of the greatest summer festivals around, period. It's a very well-curated festival. The acts are tastefully selected and strategically slotted to hopefully spurn on impromptu jams, guest spots, and spontaneous happenings. The Caius Lives project, which has now become Vistachino, was most likely sparked at Hellfest 2010 when Garcia Plays Caius, Mondo Generator, and Brant Bjork and the Bros just happened to be playing on the same day at Hellfest on the same stage. When we played Hellfest in 2006 for the first time, I ended up singing Killed by Death with Motorhead, and I've since done it almost 20 times with the band, but it started at Hellfest. In 2008, I went up on stage again and sang Bored with Death Angel. This year, although I didn't go up on stage and sing with any band, I did have a great time hanging out and catching up with everyone there. We played the same day as The Sword, Christian, Volbeat, Hishan, Prong, Danzig, Graveyard, Truck Fighters, Gojira, Spiritual Beggars, Ghost, and dozens of other bands, but also Newstead and Voivod, and of course Jason Newstead ended up playing bass for a song that day during the Voivod set, and lo and behold, Phil and Salmo ended up singing with them too. Down, who played the day before with ZZ Top and Kiss, stuck around to fill in for Clutch, who couldn't make the festival due to a family emergency, and throw in the fact that David Vincent from Morbid Angel, who also played the day before, decided to show up and hang out, and you had the makings of a glorious day for yours truly. I was definitely having a blast, as my tone and mood, you will hear shortly, can attest. There are only a handful of people I will hang out with until dawn, and David Vincent is one of them. Another person who just happened to be there and who I've spent some time with over the years and always only talking about music was Per Viberg, keyboardist of Spiritual Beggars. Per recently left Opeth, but he's also in King Hobo and his own band Mojo Bone, which you will hear at the end as the outro music. On this episode, he tells of two other notable bands he's recently joined. In other words, Per's one busy guy. Every time the two of us get together, we end up feverishly talking about music, turning each other onto bands, and when he came out a couple of years ago to hang out with us during a Swedish tour we were on, our respective iPods were eventually whipped out for a full-on music swap session. How this podcast episode ended up happening was very simple. I was hanging out, chatting up people, which is quite rare for me, but I was in a great mood because I was among friends at Hellfest, and the chat Per and I were engaged in had me itching to record it for posterity on a podcast. What you're about to hear is only half of our Hellfest hangout. There is a huge disclaimer I must state about this episode. First and foremost, although I had my Blue Mic microphones with me, the hoopla and hullabaloo of being at Hellfest made me hook up my Yeti mic incorrectly. What you're about to hear is the built-in audio mic on my computer. I think, although not quite up to Blue Mic standards, it still managed to capture our discussion in its entirety decent enough for all to listen to, or else I wouldn't upload it here. I still want to give Blue Mic microphones a shout-out, though, because they rule, and they support the podcast so well, so much. So thank you very much to Blue Mic Microphones and, of course, Skull Candy Headphones. And everyone who's left comments on iTunes and SoundCloud in regards to the podcast, thank you so much to all the subscribers. Please keep leaving those comments on iTunes because it really helps the podcast out. Okay, here we go. Per Viberg is this episode's guest on the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. So here we are at Hellfest. I'm sitting here with Per from... God, how many fucking bands are you in, dude? You're in Opeth, or you were in Opeth. You're in Spiritual Beggars, Mojo Bone, King Hobo. Are there any bands I forgot?
There's a couple. I've started playing with Candlemass since 1.5 years ago. And I also played with a very extreme heavy band called Switchblade from time to time. Stockholm band.
Okay, yeah, I know them.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were in that.
So I'm on their latest album, and they don't tour that much, but I've played with them for a little bit more than a year.
We're here at Hellfest, and Clutch just canceled their show today, and I was asking you earlier about whether or not King Hobo we're gonna do a set, because it's you and I think the drummer from Clutch, whose name escapes me right now because we toured with them, JP, which is the easiest name in the world to remember. But I thought because someone told me that one or two of the Clutch guys were still here, and I thought that you guys might do a set or something. That occurred to me when...
Well, I didn't hear about it.
No, of course. Then that was never going to happen.
I think the audience were left with a jam by the guys from Down.
Yeah, instead. And you saw that. I didn't see it. How was that?
I saw it. They did songs by I Hate God, Crowbar, COC, obviously, and the Surprise cover.
Pantera cover?
No. They did Bridge of Sighs by Robin Trower.
And only you would know what cover they were doing, too. I bet most of the people in the crowd wouldn't know.
Well, you know...
You are a musicologist, and that is why we have had lengthy conversations together over the years.
Well, a true nerd, I guess. So... Cheers to that.
Cheers, my friend. you are catching me at a moment when I am most jovial. And it has been a great day. I've met a lot of people for the first time. I met Ishan today.
Oh, that's very cool. He's super nice.
Fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a super nice guy.
Yeah, very fucking cool to meet him.
I've actually had the... I met him many years ago. Since I'm Scandinavian.
Yeah.
And we sort of stick together.
It's only a 50-minute walk away from your house, right? To go over to his?
Yeah, exactly.
In Norway?
Yeah, that dark little cottage that he lives in.
Yeah. I told him, too. I go, I always had the impression that you live somewhere far away from everybody and you just shoot these albums out of people. You shoot them downwards.
He's super cool, though. He's a really cool guy and a good musician as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it was kind of like, hey man, you rock, dude. I think you're cool.
Did he know who you were?
That blew my mind. Yeah, in fact,
he's not like a rock fan as such.
I no,
mean, he listens to lots of different stuff, but I don't know. I wouldn't know if he
actually told me he saw me earlier and he knew who I was, and he's actually read. Because I write for the Huffington Post.
And yeah.
He read one of my columns.
Cool.
Yeah, so that kind of blew my mind.
No, but he's on top of things, you know.
Yeah. And we talked about Roadburn, because he had just played Roadburn.
Yeah, I did that the same day with Spiritual Beggars, and I doubled. I played with Switchblade and Spiritual Beggars the same day at Roadburn.
This year?
Yeah.
This year? Oh, that's great, man. Yeah. So did you meet up with him?
And yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool. I kind of threw my hat in the ring in a kind of joking way with Walter from Roadburn, and I said, "Let me program Roadburn next year."
I've seen that actually.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, I read that.
What'd you think of my lineup, man?
Well, you put Diamanda Galas on there, which I mean, that would be the first name for me if I would ever be.
There we go. See,
this. We should do this.
We should program Roadburn.
We should do this.
It would be like a Bill and Ted program.
The Bill and Ted avant-garde journey of stoner rock and doom.
Totally. I would totally be into it, man. I mean, I would love to. I would feel a little intimidated to do it by myself. But if you were by my side...
You had some very good bands on your list.
Thank you, man. I thought I was it impressed Walter enough to kind of take it half seriously. He kind of took me... half more seriously than he started out when we were talking.
Have you guys done Roadburn with the Danko Jones band?
We're not Roadburn worthy.
We when we played with Spiritual Beggars this year, it was like we felt like
you guys are on the cusp of being on a road
band. We talked about that before we were going on stage. Hey, guys, we
you are like Foo Fighters.
No, we're kind of like Def Leppard here, aren't
we? Yeah, exactly. That's what I would think.
Yeah.
In terms of, and then we would be like, we would be Madonna, or we would be like Cyndi Lauper or something.
It was really cool, though. I mean, I was surprised that, you know, how many people seemed to enjoy it. So that was really cool. But we expected the worst, you know. So.
I think it's a testament to Roadburn how a band like Spiritual Beggars would expect to get pelted at a festival like Roadburn. It just goes to show you exactly who Roadburn catered to.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Walter about it, and he said that most of the people who buy the tickets for Roadburn aren't even from Holland.
I think the majority abroad. Of people going there. They're not from Holland.
Yeah, so they're extreme fans who like seek this stuff out.
Yeah,
and I as a, like a kind of baby kind of guy, I would feel like, okay, I'm gonna get killed. Not because I think they're kind of meek enough to not be vocal, but just by their eyes.
Oh yeah.
I would just get killed by their eyes, you know.
If looks could kill?
Yeah, if looks could kill, it's just like, why are you here? Why are you even up here? But you know what? That's a fun. I think your taste in music I bow down to. And I would definitely adhere to whatever you have to say in terms of programming Roadburn. I think that's a great idea.
I think we should
do it.
We should.
You've turned me on to so many bands over the years.
You have too. So it's
I have.
Yeah, mutual thing.
Really? Like you learned about Thin Lizzy from me?
Never heard those guys before. They were really cool. Like, you know, twin guitar thing.
Yeah.
Like Iron Maiden.
I said, Pear, check out this band, Thin Lizzy. No, you're always. I knew you were fucking down when, you know, you're playing in Opeth and you're wearing what was it? What were you wearing? Like, you're wearing some shirt that was just
totally
like
Discharge.
No, it was a Southern Rock Band shirt. I can't remember what it was, and I'm like, what's this dude in Opeth wearing this dude shirt? Was it I can't think of the band right now. Not an Allman Brothers shirt, but it's something of that type.
Yeah,
and I was just like,
Grand Funk maybe something.
It was something like that,
yeah.
But it wasn't Grand Funk, but it was, you know, you're in Opeth, and all the dudes in Opeth are down like that, you know,
yeah.
All the classic rock stuff.
Yeah.
So behind the scenes, I knew it, but you were wearing some band. Before I met all you guys, I thought you guys were, you know, like steel, cold metalheads, you know, and then you kind of break the veneer when you wear like a Southern Rock shirt.
I ruined it for you.
Yeah, you made me like... You made me like venture more into Opeth, and I think it was through that T-shirt that I kind of got it. You know,
I think that particular band has always been. You know, if you would walk on the tour bus with Opeth, and even though I'm not in the band anymore, I think it's the same thing nowadays as well. There would be a pretty good variety of music being played. You know, on the stereo.
Yeah, all you guys in when you were in Opeth, all the guys in Opeth and when you were in there, all had Michael and you especially have. I don't think we have the same kind of taste in music.
No, but it's a diverse taste.
Yeah, but it's a taste I think we mutual respect.
Yeah,
I think there's definitely some mutual respect. So you're here in Hellfest with Spiritual Beggars, and I'm a big, huge fucking Spiritual Beggars fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was great. I put the word out to a bunch of people, like, that I wanted to get on the podcast. And, you know, just I understand how it goes with Hellfest. There's too many distractions, but I was able to wrangle you. And there's a few other people that I was trying to wrangle, but it was hard enough. But I kept running into you.
Yeah.
So I caught you in my net, and here you are. What's in store? I know you guys have a new album, but what's going on?
Well, Spiritual Beggars is a band that, I mean, all of the people that's in the band sort of have other bands that maybe are the priority one bands. So... we haven't toured a lot for the last 10 years, we still have released albums.
Yeah. But,
and this year we released, the latest album was put out in April, and just by luck, I guess, no one was busy with other things. So we probably played more shows this far this year, more shows than we've done in the last 10 years.
But this is your only summer show.
Yes, but we've done a European tour. We played a Roadburn Fest. We went to Mexico, did shows there. We're going to go to Greece and Japan and do another European run this fall as well.
You're going to Greece? Really? Yeah. Wow, that's fucking amazing.
For some reason, that's always been a stronghold for beggars.
Wow. And
once, when we were big, we had a fan club, actually.
No shit.
And that was...
This is before, like, blogs, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is before...
MySpace?
Yeah, this is before computers. No, but... and that was done by a Greek guy.
I see.
Yeah, so they've, for some reason, they've always embraced us.
It's interesting. I met Michael... from Spiritual,
yeah.
From Arch Enemy Spiritual Carcass. I met him here 7 years ago for the first time at Hellfest.
Oh, cool.
When Arch Enemy were playing. So
there's always
been a connection, and he's obviously here today.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. So what's going on with Mojo Bone?
This is your
thing. This is your band.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Solid
rock band. Fucking, I hesitate to say classic, but if there's a genre to put you in, I would use that word.
Yeah. We got the band nowadays is basically me and the drummer. And when we record, I would play most of the stuff except for drums because I'm useless. We got 17 new songs written. And... record labels take notice.
I understand. I remember seeing, I think you played this to me like maybe 3-4 years ago, a video of Mojo Bone live.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen you guys live past the CDs, right?
No.
And it was with Frederick from Opeth at the time, right? And you guys slayed on the video. It was amazing.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff.
I'd never heard you sing... never seen you sing the way you did on video. It was definitely a marked difference from just listening to the albums and then seeing it on video.
Yeah.
It was very impressive, man.
No, it's cool. It's a fun thing to do, and I would be happy to do it a little bit more.
So, yeah, I understand.
So we'll see. It's pretty busy this year, live. Wise with Spiritual Beggars and Candlemass, first and foremost.
I can't believe you're in Candlemass. That's fucking amazing. I didn't know that until like 25 minutes ago. You told me that.
Yeah.
You're in Candlemass.
They're old friends, and it's an easy gig for me because it's music and a band that I've listened to since I was 18.
Right.
So when they say, hey, we're going to rehearse this song.
New singer, though.
Yeah. But when they say like, we're going to play this song from the first or second album. It's like, you have to listen to that before the next gig. It's cool. I know it.
You know it already.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. And how did you find them? Just from being in the scene or like...
No, me and Leif have been friends for 25 years.
Right.
So, and Sweden's a small country. Everyone knows
it. Everybody knows it. I mean, I'm not even from Sweden. I know most of everybody anyways.
Yeah, exactly. The cool thing with Candlemass was first time I played with them, I played bass.
What?
Because Leif was sick, and he is like the Mr. Doom, you know, and he is Candlemass, but he couldn't do it because he was sick. So the first, and we were trying to find, that was supposed to be my first gig with Candlemass, and we were trying to find like some replacement, and Jörgen, who used to play bass in Entombed, was supposed to play bass for that gig, but he couldn't do it. And I told the other guys that I've already learned the songs, and it doesn't matter if I play bass or keyboards because I know how the song goes anyway.
See, that's a world I don't even know. Like a real musician. You're a real musician.
So
I couldn't do that.
So that was the first time Leif had a a sub for a Candlemass gig.
Really?
Yeah.
And that was you?
Yeah. That was ridiculous.
That's fucking... And when was that? A year and a half ago or two years?
Yeah, it was a Metal Fest in Portugal. And we all said that it doesn't matter if they hate you, Per, because we don't know Portuguese anyway. So they can scream whatever they want. And I was just laughing. That's cool. So we did the first two songs, and then...
And they were screaming?
And then after the second song, it just got very quiet, you know, after the second song. And then in, like, a very, very strong Stockholm accent in Swedish, you could hear, like a very tiny voice screaming, "Vad fan är Leffe?"
Really? Where's
Leif? In a very, like, scared voice. It's like...
From the crowd? Or
yeah, from the crowd.
So there was a Swede in Portugal. Candlemass fan.
Where did he come from? This guy. It's like, why?
Why are you fucking up my vibe, man?
That was very funny.
Oh, fuck.
So, but it turned out cool.
I can't even remember when we met. How long have we known each other? For 7 years? 8 years?
I think
it's like 8 years, dude.
I think you know how it is when you do the festival season in Europe. Sometimes you always end up on the same cycle as another band.
Yeah.
And I think it was...
But I kind of... No. We met in Toronto.
Oh, that's true.
We actually met in Toronto.
Opera House.
Yeah, when Opeth were on tour with Fireball Ministry.
Oh, that's true.
And I was there to see Fireball.
Yeah.
Because I know those guys. I knew one of the dudes who was playing bass. One of the Diamond Brothers. They produced our videos. Jason Diamond. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Jason, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was playing in Fireball.
Yeah, they're cool guys.
Yeah, all those guys were cool.
Yeah.
I thought they were out of place on your tour, because it was you guys, Fireball, and then after that it was some Finnish band, No, that's another tour I saw.
Pelican.
No. It was you guys, Opeth. It was Fireball and someone else, but Fireball just seemed out of place, I thought, on that tour.
It could have been Nevermore, maybe.
It was Nevermore. Yeah Nevermore, Opeth, and Fireball. I thought Fireball were they kind of were out.
The odd man out.
The odd man out. And that's, I think, out of all the dudes in Opeth, I met you that night. That's when I met you. And I think that was in 05.
Yeah, that's true.
So we've known each other for 8 years.
Yeah.
That's cool. Wow.
Time flies.
I can't believe it's 8 years I've known you.
I remember that show very well. I remember that because there was a lady crowd surfing and she forgot to take her panties on before she went out, I guess. So it was a pretty impressive view from the stage.
Interesting views. I remember seeing you guys in Toronto at the Molson Amphitheater for Gigantor, which is was a show that, like, Mustaine threw his guitar down and everybody was scared there's going to be a riot.
Yeah.
I saw that. And then Michael went on stage and he said something like, "I'm his bitch," or some shit like that. And I'm like going, well, dude, you can say that, but you realize you are wearing a Whitesnake t-shirt, and not a lot of people, you know, kind of see Whitesnake the same way we see Whitesnake.
Exactly.
So it doesn't... I thought it... And ever since I saw Michael wearing that Whitesnake t-shirt, I got a Whitesnake t-shirt after that.
But his Whitesnake t-shirt, he's got the wrong logo on it.
Yeah, I know. I got one of those. It was a bootleg logo.
It's like the 1987 logo.
Yeah. I got one.
I'm upset by that.
I have a t-shirt that I bought in Sweden, a Whitesnake shirt. It's got the new 87 logo underneath the old school logo.
What?
It's the most fucked up bootleg shirt. I love it because of that.
Yeah,
it's
of course.
Fucked up.
Why?
Because it's like, okay, so there's two logos on the shirt.
Yeah. Why would you do
it's
that?
The 87 logo and the old school logo.
Okay. Oh, well. There you go. Maybe they did one of those where you play the whole album first and then you do your greatest hit set.
But Michael, at that show in Toronto, he was the gateway to me wearing Whitesnake shirts. I was like, you know what? Fuck everyone. I'm going to wear a Whitesnake shirt too.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick and tired of of keeping my Whitesnake fandom to myself. Am I right on this? It's like, I get it from Swedes, like, it's only Swedes, like sweet rocker Swedes, where Whitesnake is really accepted, you know, and I really kind of felt a affinity to Swedish rockers through their Whitesnake fandom.
I think one of the best markets when they were cool, like late 70s, early 80s.
When?
Yeah.
I love that word when you use it for Whitesnake.
Yeah, but they were actually cool at
that. They were awesome.
And I think one of the best markets for them was like Scandinavia. It was the first gig I went to, because I come from a small town, northwest of Stockholm. So
which town is it?
Borlänge.
Oh, Borlänge. We've played there many times.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're 14, it was like to ask your parents if you could go to Stockholm, which would be a three-hour train ride, and then hang out there and go to a gig on your own. It's like so-so. But that was the first gig I went to, was Whitesnake, Saints and Sinners Tour.
Whoa.
With Ozzy opening up.
Ozzy opened?
Yeah.
So what, this is like 81, 82?
Early 82.
Fuck. That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Because back home in Canada, when I get like Circus Magazine or Hit Parader Magazine,
yeah.
There'd always be ads taken out by the record label for Whitesnake. It wouldn't be a story on Whitesnake. It would be an ad.
Okay.
Like Motley Crue and David Lee Roth and Kiss,
yeah.
They had stories on them in the magazine.
Yeah.
Whitesnake weren't big enough back then to have a story on them, so the record company would take out ads, and all the ads would say is, they're really big in Europe. You should buy this
that's
band.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, okay, I'll give him half a chance. And then Slide It In came out.
Yeah.
And Love Ain't No Stranger, which is probably in the top 10 songs, my favorite songs of all time. I saw the video for that with John Sykes and Cozy Powell. And I was hooked.
Yeah.
And I bought the album, and I wrote this thing on Huffington about guilty pleasures and how there should be no guilty pleasures.
There aren't.
There aren't any.
It's just for hipsters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for me, I mean, I wasn't like I hid my fandom for Whitesnake, but I quietly just kept it aside.
Yeah.
Because it was just built with such, it was loaded with you know, Whitesnake was like, you know, affiliated with, you know, what was cheesy in rock and roll.
Yeah.
It was loaded.
Definitely.
People would say like, oh, that's just like Whitesnake.
Yeah.
And that would mean that would be loaded with a whole bunch of meanings.
Yeah.
And then slowly over time, I think hopefully, I would like to think that the real Whitesnake has come through over time.
And, I think so.
You know, with Michael wearing the shirt on stage and you know, everybody kind of name-dropping it, and especially in Swedish rock.
Yeah.
I think over time, I don't know where Whitesnake is right now, but the fact that they headlined the first day of this festival at Hellfest should be a testament to just how much that whole kind of reputation has been faded away.
Yeah.
And people have started to come around and appreciate Whitesnake as the real, true rock and roll band that they are.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, I just thought when I was a kid and read like one of the evening papers in Sweden, and it's like I think it was when Whitesnake was supposed to play a show in Stockholm for the Come and Get It album that was put out in 80.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interview with David Coverdale, and he just said like, really, we're just a blues band, but we play with a heavy metal band's volume, you know. And I thought that was pretty cool, because that's what they were at the time, you know. They were just a blues band. That was way before the, you know,
87 explosion.
Yeah, here I go again with chicks on the hoods of the cars.
Tony Katane.
Yeah, they were just a really, really good rock and roll band.
You know, yeah, and ever since the 87 album, I thought, I haven't really kept up with what they've put out since.
I have no idea, so I'm
but I must say that I've kind of checked in every once in a while, and Doug Aldridge is in Whitesnake, and he's fucking amazing. Your thoughts?
I met him a couple of times for some reason. I think it's his girlfriend or wife that was a huge Opeth fan. So he came out to shows whenever we were in LA.
That's fucking heavy, man.
So and he's just a super nice person.
He seems that way too.
And a pretty good guitar player as well.
Kind of okay.
Yeah,
I think he'll pass. Yeah, totally.
Check.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to see him and Tommy do a band.
Tommy
Aldridge.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be like the Aldridge brothers.
Yeah,
Aldridge. The Aldridge cousins.
The Black Oak Aldridge.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Doug Aldridge, incredible guitar player, Dio's guitar player for a few years, for
yes.
albums.
Yeah.
And when he made the switch to Whitesnake, very seamless, and I understood it completely.
Yeah, I think he's into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Himself. Maybe more so than the Dio stuff, actually, to be honest.
I think so too. Yeah. Whatever happened to Adrian Vandenberg?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I know he was in a band called Vandenberg.
Yeah.
Kind of like Van Halen.
Yeah.
What's up with Dutch people and naming their bands after themselves?
I don't know. There's more bands that starts with Van, though, from Holland, isn't it?
I don't know. Are there?
No, I have to think.
I know actually quite a few Dutch bands.
Like yeah, me too.
Seven Zuma Seven, The Spades. Peter Pan Speed Rock.
They were cool. Seven Zuma Seven.
Seven Zuma Seven were, yeah. And Beaver. Remember Beaver?
Oh, yeah.
They're amazing, man.
Yeah.
They were amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, and they got
that's
some...
going back to Roadburn, which
yeah.
is where that Roadburn emanates from.
35007 is another band. What?
Oh, no, I don't know that band.
No, same era, like 90s.
Okay.
Stuff.
I know Spoiler. Do you know that
yeah.
band?
They had some classic rock as well, Golden Earring.
Yeah, of course. I met that guy once.
Yeah?
Yeah, I met that guy.
Mr. Radar Love?
Yeah, Radar Love. I met Mr. Radar Love.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And I met, hung out with the dude from Urban Dance Squad. Remember that band?
Oh,
yeah.
I like him a lot.
Deeper Shade of Soul?
Oh, yeah.
What? Yeah, Rude Boy from Urban Dance Squad.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we hung out once.
That
yeah.
first album is amazing.
It's Mental Floss... For the Globe?
Yeah.
I think it was called. Yeah. It was
very, wicked. Very cool album.
Yeah, that was a good album.
Yeah.
That was fucking back in the day. And I know he's in a new outfit.
He is?
I met him at a Dutch festival a few years back, and that was pretty cool. He's one of those guys that I was a little intimidated to go up to.
Yeah.
And then when I did, it was great. You know, that's just how it is all the time.
I couldn't picture him being like a, you know, like a mean guy or anything.
No, I was...
It seems very...
Just when he was walking around, I'm like, wow, he's in a bad mood.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I met Phil Anselmo today. That was pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was... What a super nice dude.
I've met him a couple of times. And without being mean or anything, I don't think he remembers those.
Yeah, you know, I understand. And trust me, I don't think he'll remember our meeting as well in the state that I met him. But it was
cool.
Cool,
though.
Yeah,
so,
it was nice. It was nice. It's good. So, did you see Voivod today?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see him sing Astronomy Demand?
Yeah, I did.
That was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And then Jason came out and did Voivod.
Yeah.
Which is fucking heavy, man.
Yeah. No, that was very cool.
Yeah. And, you know, as much... time as I've logged watching Metallica documentaries and interviews and everything, Newstead was exactly how I thought he would be when I met him. Like, very cool. Like, he
down to earth.
Down to
that.
Earth,
yeah.
And just very cool. And it was a very nice meeting with him. I had a good meeting. It was a good day.
He jammed a couple of songs with Down today as well on that kind of surprise.
Oh, he did?
He played the COC songs. With Pepper.
Oh, I heard they did Clean My Wounds.
And Albatross.
Did you tell me that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah. So now you know it.
And I think I said, I should have sung those songs.
Yes, you did.
I should have fucking sung
and
those songs.
If we get to meet them later on, I will certainly
Pepper?
Kind of get that message over to them as well.
I have this Kerrang magazine that I got COC'd. I met them in 89 and 90.
Yeah.
And Pepper was in the band then. and I got them all signed my Kerrang magazine.
Yeah.
In the Kerrang article, there's a picture of Reed Mullen. I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before, this story, but there's a picture of Reed Mullen where he's just in his all his glory, and his hair is flying. He looks like a rock god.
Yeah.
He's playing drums, flying. This is 89, 90, okay?
Cool.
Right. Flash forward to America's Volume Dealer. This is, 2004, 2003, whenever America's Volume Dealer came out.
Yeah.
I buy the record. I look inside the booklet. It's that photo.
Yeah, the booklet got shitloads of pictures.
Yeah. The photo with Reed Mullen where he's got his hair. That's from the Kerrang magazine that I got him to sign. And when he saw that photo, he freaked. He went to everyone in the crew, everyone in the band, and he showed him the photo in Kerrang. He was like, check this shit out. Look at this picture of me. Right? And it was my Kerrang magazine he was going to sign. And fucking, I don't know, 15 years later, that photo is in the COC America's Volume Dealer. Because I got that. No one knows that. I don't know if I've told that story on this podcast.
A lot of people will know that now.
Go to America's Volume Dealer, and if you're a crazy Kerrang collector, go to your 1989 issue with Faith No More on the cover, and you will see that COC photo with Reed Mullen.
Very cool.
Yeah. So there you go. But that's about it. That's my COC story.
That's cool. I met Reed and Mike Dean. I was actually invited by my good friends in a band called Clutch to do a Christmas tour with them in the US a couple of years ago. And the support band was a band called Righteous Fool, which is Reed and Mike Dean and what's the...
Woody Weatherman?
No, it's actually not. It's another guy. I can't remember his name, he's a guitar player, but he plays with HR. In his solo band, The Bad Brains.
Okay,
HR.
Then I wouldn't know.
They've only put out like a 7-inch. It was released by Southern Lord.
Oh, fuck.
It's pretty cool. Very cool band.
Whoa.
3-piece. And all of them sings, which is cool because you get, you know, three different voices. But then I guess things started to pick up for COC again as a 3-piece.
Yeah.
Like with Woody.
Mike Dean singing.
Yeah, exactly. So they
Peppers
started,
out. Yeah.
Yeah. Started doing that again. But that band, Righteous Fool, that was really cool. So that was...
I didn't know that.
A lot of fun to do that tour.
Wow. So you hung out with those dudes for the whole tour?
Well, it was like Clutch always... They do these Christmas tours every year.
Yeah.
Like, and they always have cool opening bands.
That's really nice. That's really cool. So you're kind of...
Well, it was Kailessa as well.
Oh, okay.
Kailessa, Righteous Fool. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We toured with those Clutch dudes once for a month. They're nice guys.
Mm. Super nice guys.
It's too bad they're not playing today.
Very, yeah.
Disappointed?
Disappointed, but I know the circumstances, so I understand. So.
And that's how I was able. And that's why you agreed to do the podcast today here, because you got nothing else to do, right?
Nah, very true.
Yeah, because if Clutch didn't cancel, you'd be hanging out with Clutch. So they're not. They canceled. So second place consolation prize.
Hanging out with me.
Yeah. For the podcast. So.
Yeah. That's pretty good, though.
It's a good consolation prize, right?
I think so.
We're on the podcast.
I'm happy.
I get an episode out of it, right? We've known each other for...
8 years.
8 years. We might as well fucking lay it down for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And usually our meetings together over the years have been much like this, where we trade off musical information.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how many bands I've been turned on by you over the years. And when I say, you know, there's some people in my life where I get my a lot of, you know, my musical tips from, you're one of those people.
That's very cool to hear, and I'll be happy to turn you on to more in the future. So, and likewise as well. So.
I'm a big Mojo Bone fan. I like the King Hobo, the one album I have.
Yeah, there's another one coming out early next year.
So you only have one?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the one I have.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not behind.
No, you're not behind.
I met Ishan earlier, and he's like, yeah, my latest album. I'm like, you throw them out like every 6 months, am I right?
Well, he is quick.
Yeah, I can't keep up with it, dude.
It's not like, 10 quick Chuck Berry songs, not to put down Chuck Berry or anything, but it's not like that kind of music.
No, but he just churns it out. Yeah, my new album, I have blah, blah, blah on it and blah, blah, blah. You've heard it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, actually, dude, I'm two albums behind. I'm probably like four albums behind. I can't keep up. But no, it's good. So King Hobo's got one album, and I've got that one.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But there will be a new one. Hope maybe not before Christmas, but early in next year.
Mojo Bone, what's going on with that?
And we got lots of songs written. We got a pretty fucked up recording that's way out there and avant-garde, and I'm waiting for a good friend. And
what? There's an avant-garde you describe it as avant-garde Mojo Bone?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means like we went into the studio with no stuff written and we just jammed out on super heavy doom stuff for 3 days. And
you're going doom with Mojo Bone?
And we just recorded it, and then it's going to be pieced together with electronic music, and I'm just waiting for vocals from a good friend of mine from another black metal band.
I was going to say Danko Jones. I will throw down.
And Danko Jones.
Gonna I will sing throw on down on the Mojo Bone album.
Yeah. So for sure. I'll probably just put out that one myself on my own little label.
I'll throw down vocals. I offered my services for King Hobo 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Of course, you're like, thank you. I got an email going, thank you. No reply. No follow-up. Like, all right, message received, guy. No, that's cool.
No, but we're going to do more stuff with King Hobo in the future. It just turned out this time that we recorded it as a three-piece instead of four guys.
So what's missing out of the four?
On the first album, I play guitar and keyboards.
Yeah.
And this time, I play bass.
Well, cool. All right, well, I look forward to hearing all of that.
Yep.
Hellfest is over, man.
No, Swans are left, and Napalm is...
Yeah, but we're gone. Our bus calls at 12. Oh. We gotta go. We're missing a whole bunch of other bands because of that.
Yeah.
So, that's it. Your bus calls at... Your shuttle's at 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. Thanks, Per. That's awesome.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for... Wait, we gotta do it for the mic so they can hear that. Yes!
Yeah!
Over the hills! Across the field!